Is it possible for you to have peace when in the midst of tragedy? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with Evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you will hear from Brad Dacus, who was at the top of his class until he got brain damage from a car accident and nearly died.
Yeah, and I think the amazing thing is that Brad had peace. He was supposed to die. That's what the doctors were saying, but he had such a peace during that time, and we're going to hear about that.
Well, you know, the thing about having peace, what Brad was talking about, or what's going to talk about, is that that's a very hard thing to have. Because honestly, when catastrophe or something happens, what happens? We freak out.
Yeah.
One, we freak out, and that will cause a natural fear response. That fear response usually causes us to fight or flight, you know, anxiety and that constant, it's a very uneasy feeling. And we feel locked up inside and like we have to fight out of it or we're going to run away from it. It just depends, you know, and that's usually what happens. When something like that happens, we usually fight out of that or we run away.
And I think it's a loss of control when we feel like there's so much going on around us and we can't control it. It can be a scary thing. And I remember when our son had a shot at 6 months old and he had an allergic reaction and he was getting those, you know, allergic, I don't know what you call them, welts or
hives
all over the place. He had a 106 fever and it was like 2 a.m. And all I can remember thinking is, oh my gosh, what's going to happen?
Because, I know, we thought we're going to lose our son.
You know, and we bring him to the hospital and they can't even get an IV in him. They're like, I don't know. He's having an allergic reaction. We don't know what we can do. It was so scary for me. And I can remember that I needed to go in the bathroom and just pray, God help me because I'm about to lose it right now.
No, I remember there was almost a meltdown at that time. And understandable. I think a lot of moms or people can really relate to that is because there comes those times in life where you have that meltdown. What do you do in that time?
Yeah.
The Bible talks about this thing that's called peace.
Right.
But it's not like just kind of like peace in the way that you're thinking of like, well, opposite of war. Peace is something amazing. It says in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I remember at that time is that I just had to give it up to God. And I did have that peace as I was holding our son, this peace that you can't understand it. And that's a great peace. It's not something that you conjure up. It's something that you have to receive. It's from heaven. And when you have that peace, it overrides anything that's going on in your brain. It overrides that fear response. And it's past what you can understand. And suddenly you just know what to do.
And
in
it's interesting because it's a peace that only God can give us in those times where we aren't rushing to figure this out. We know he's going to take care of it no matter what the outcome of the situation. So if you're going through a hard time, pray to the Lord, seek him with thanksgiving, and he will bring you peace. Let's hear from Brad after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Elite Nails and Spa Towers and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Dreaming of a relaxing manicure, pedicure, and to die for nails? Make your dream a reality at Elite Nails and Spa, where they always take the time to leave you feeling sensational. Come see them at the corner of East Hamden and South Tower Road in Aurora, or call them at 303-955-7112. You'll get a 10% discount if you mention this radio ad. That's 303-955-7112.
Hi, everyone. This is Kathleen Lay, host of the Real Life Radio Show.
This is Evangelist Ann Lay, and we wanted to thank you for being a faithful listener to Real Life.
Yeah, and did you know that we have a prayer line just for you? If you need prayer, please feel free to give us a call at 877-480-4477. Also, we have monthly partners who receive a CD set of 6 of our shows every month. If you'd like to help us to reach more people through your generous donation, please feel free to give us a call, 877-480-4477. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Hello, everyone.
And joining us is Brad Dacus, and he has an amazing story to share with us. He nearly died when a motorcycle flew through his windshield. In fact, his parents were told by doctors that if he lived, he would have brain damage and could be a vegetable. So let's welcome Brad to the show and find out what happened. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's great to be on the program. Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about your upbringing. Were you raised in a Christian home, or did you believe in God up until this point?
Yes, actually, I received Christ as my Lord and Savior in third grade. I walked down the aisle of a traditional Baptist church and gave my life to Christ. I was on fire. I read my Bible a lot and memorized Bible verses in elementary school. And in high school, I studied the Word daily. I taught second grade Sunday school at Fellowship Bible Church there in Dallas, Texas. And I was very committed to my faith, my Christian friends. So I was very seemingly having it all together. But the Lord knows what He needs to do to really bring our hearts closer to Him. And sometimes that involves some hard times and tragic times to sort of break the pot so the potter can remold it. And that's what He did with me through a very, very traumatic accident.
Now, tell me, how old were you when you were driving? And tell me about the experience of this motorcycle coming into your window, if you remember.
Yeah. What happened is I was driving to school. I was in high school and I was 16. I was driving up this hill, this highway, towards my high school in Plano, Texas. And coming from the other direction was a motorcyclist who was passing cars. And this is just a highway. So I was going, I don't know, what, 55 or so, 60. And I don't know how fast he was going. And I had a little Opel GT. And he was passing cars, hit me head on near the top of the hill. And his motorcycle went smashing through my windshield. One of his legs was severed by the windshield, flew off in a ditch. He flew off, landed on the hood of the car that was behind me. Yes. I don't know how far he flew in the air for that to happen. He lived, he had a helmet on, and he survived. But the motorcycle smashed through the windshield, and it smashed through my skull. Instinctively, it moved my face to the right. So the left side of my face and place where my ear is, my jaw, my temporal area of the brain, all that was smashed in. And I got out of the car, took a few steps, and then went to the ground and blanked out. I lost a lot of blood. I was taken to Plano General Hospital. They looked at me and they said, send him to Parkland. Now, Parkland in Dallas is where people were sent at the time, at least, when they had real serious traumatic touch-and-go situations. That's where they sent you. But they sent JFK after his assassination. There I struggled to live. You know, the whole left side of my face was just smashed in. Part of the skull was smashed in. I didn't have a major concussion. I had major brain damage. I just like to spell it out real point up front so people understand. They had to cut a large hole out of my left temporal lobe area about the size of a silver dollar just for the brain to swell out, and it did. My parents at the time were out of town. They were contacted. They were visiting my grandmother in Bakersfield, and doctor made it very clear to them that even if your son lives, he's had major brain damage, and he still may be a vegetable. You may still have to pull the cord, end quote. So that is pretty darn bad. I was struggling to live. I remembered how I was just struggling to live, and I also remembered hearing a med student or someone ask the doctor, do you think he's going to make it? And I heard nothing from the doctor. As it turns out, the other three people in my ICU unit did die. So I was in a very high trauma area. And then I also remembered experiencing a peace that passed understanding. And it was like Jesus was right there with me, closer than holding my hand. And I cannot describe it. He was closer than if he was holding my hand. How do you know it was Jesus? I just knew it was Jesus. And I had this peace of past understanding, and I remembered hearing that, and I thought, okay, the Lord's preparing to take me. And people say, well, that was the drug you had, the Demerol, that does that. No, I've had surgeries. I know medication. This wasn't a medication thing at all. My mother came in a day or two later. I don't remember this conversation. I remember having the thoughts, though. My brother told me about the conversation. I saw her out of my right eye, and I said, Mom, I'm going to die. And she starts crying, and I could see her crying out of my right eye. And I said, Mom, don't cry. I'm going to be in the kingdom. Don't cry. And she could tell that I wasn't like, I'm going to die. But, you know, she told me I was very just surrendered. And then she had to leave the room. Well, my Aunt Betty in Bakersfield, California, who's still alive, Betty Wilkinson, she had a word from the Lord that not only was Brad going to live, but that he was going to heal me and restore me. And she went and shared that with my mother. But anyways, did I have a bad situation? Yeah. My left face was smashed in. They had to actually partially remove the left eye out to reconstruct the eye socket. They had to reattach the jaw to the left side. My hearing was gone. They told my parents that my eyesight would either be severely damaged or blind, just because the damage to the eye in that area there that took place, but also behind it, was also in question. And then the CAT scan, which I later looked at, I've actually read through my medical records page to page. And I was advised not to do that by the doctor. Said, you really don't want to know. I said, no, I want to know exactly what's happened to me. You know, this is later on. But there's a CAT scan, and it shows about a third of my brain, that whole left frontal lobe, third of my brain was all a different color because it was hemorrhaging. Billions of neurons disconnecting.
Wow.
And this deals with short-term memory, also logic, reasoning, analytical skills, speech communication. I mean, that's the bread and butter part of the brain is what I call it.
Hey, Brad, I want to ask you this. Your aunt came in the room 2 days after the accident and you spoke. Were you in a coma up until that point? Or at what point did you have this experience and were doctors astonished at that?
Yeah, it was my mom who came in. She talked to my Aunt Betty by phone. But my mom came in, and that's when I told her the Lord was going to take me home. It's sort of blurry. I think it was on the third day that I talked to my mom, and I had that experience somewhere on day two, probably, maybe earlier on day three. That part's sort of blurry.
Right. Yeah. But you weren't in a coma or anything.
No, I wasn't in a coma, but one of the medicines apparently thought I was or was completely out when they made that question, do you think he's going to make it? You never talk like that around a patient who might possibly be listening.
Mm.
But it was very, very uncertain at the time whether I was going to make it. And I don't think I was in a coma, but I had experienced the presence of the Lord like I've never experienced ever in my life before or after. And I will tell you this. It's given me the opportunity, though, to share with people in a number of different dimensions, specifically about the peace of what's to come.
Well, Brad, I want to have you share more and how you were miraculously healed. In fact, you're a lawyer, which is amazing.
Right.
And if you can be a lawyer, how much can we do where we haven't been affected like you have?
Right.
So we want to welcome you back on our next show to share the healing process and how the Lord really touched your life and changed you. Thanks for being with us, Brad.
My pleasure.
Well, Father God, we just thank you so much for this story. Such a real story of how tragedy can happen. And also looking into the reality of another dimension, of another reality, where Jesus is the one who gives us peace that surpasses all understanding. I'm just sensing, as we've been hearing this story, that the presence of the peace of God is now present to those who are listening. And so, Father, we just thank you for that peace.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to know that we're going to experience that when we die.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jesus, we just invite you into our lives. We invite that peace,
mm-hmm.
you being the Prince of Peace, into our lives,
yes.
into our hearts, into our souls, God, yes. into our spirits.
Yes.
And we ask you, Lord God, to save us
mm-hmm.
so that we can encounter that now.
Yes.
Encounter the peace of God now, my friend,
mm-hmm.
by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.
And if you need healing, just call out and say, Jesus, touch me, heal me. If he can do it for Brad, he can do it for you. He loves you that much. God bless you all. Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time for Real Life.